Hello, I'd like to welcome you all here today to the second in the lecture workshop series that we're giving in Rancho Santa Fe. For those of you who were with us last month, you'll recall that we started with an overview of the system of reference that we use to view our relationship with being. When we concluded, we were focusing in on the first three place values of the chapter of prayer as seen from the standpoint of the law of interdependence in the Word. We had asked ourselves some very deep spiritual questions that were brought out at these first three place values. We asked ourselves if truly we were willing to let our desires be molded by mind, by an all-knowing intelligence. We asked ourselves if our motives for prayer were absolutely pure. And then we asked ourselves if we truly had the humility to change our concepts. We asked ourselves these questions to open up our hearts. We asked ourselves, and then we focused on the law that is feeding into those place values. We could hear it, the subjective being itself, focusing in on the mind of its own being. We could hear it saying, and let there be mind. And we could hear that mind having an impact within our own consciousness. We could hear it bidding us to allow it to mold our desires. That mind has an impulse. It has an impulse because it comes right from the heart of the divine subjective being. And that impulse that it has within itself to express its ideas is forever coming forth, forever bubbling forth. It is that impulse that we feel within us. It is that impulse that is forever bidding us to follow its directive. Therefore, if I'm not willing to allow the impulse of that mind to be felt within my being, if I won't allow it truly to mold the images within my mind, then whether I realize it or not, I'm going to be out of the flow of that mind. I'm going to have separated myself from the creation of the correct images. Therefore, I'm going to be feeding myself illusionary dream images. And if I have not a pure motive within, then I really will not be feeling mind being the purity of its own image. If that mind has a pure image within itself, if it's able to focus in upon itself, then I too must allow that image to come to focus within my being. If I'm not clear, I won't be able to do that. Therefore, I must have the humility to change my mental views, my mental concepts, and allow the images of the divine mind to be that which is held in my mind. At this point, we can see in the fourth section of the chapter of prayer another deep question coming up for us to address. It says, a willingness to be brought into harmony with the operation of the infinite, with the science of being. So therefore, I must really address myself. I must ask myself, am I willing to be brought into line with the cybernetic operation of the infinite mind? See, that mind operates normally, naturally. It has a system deep within itself that allows it to operate. Therefore, I must come into line with that operation in order to enable it to operate within my mind. Therefore, can I harmonize my mental activities with its structured and systematic procedures? Am I therefore able to think in a structured and systematic way? You can't just wish yourself into that position. You really must allow the principle of that mind to be fed, to come, to be really your mind. And the only way to do that is to open up and to discover wherever there are blocks within my mind, wherever I'm putting up mental pictures that would block me from harmonizing with the operation of that mind. And if I'm overwhelmed at the prospect and in any way feel that it's impossible, that I just can't, then I've got to give that up. I really want to yield and try conscientiously to do so, because I realize that great adjustments are going to have to be made before I'm able to bring the images of my thought into accord with the scientific operation of that mind. Am I willing to make those adjustments? I want to be, because I really recognize the price that I'll pay if I'm not willing to do that. Adjustments are really not difficult unless we resist them. So if we have mental patterns, we just have to be willing to let them go. And so if we come from the standpoint of law, I could hear it saying, let this principle of mind be heard. Let this symphony be present in my mind. Let the science of mind impel its categorical conceptions within the boundaries of my thought. It's really incredible. That mind is so structured that if I just allow it, it will categorize my thought. It will structure the images as they appear in my mind. And let there be no resistance I have here within me to this process. May its deep, impersonal principle govern the activity of what appears to be my creative work. It's wonderful, because you don't have to worry about the correct thought coming if it looks like you need to create something. That mind is ever present, and it has a sense of category, a sense of structure, a sense of system within itself. So therefore, you can just hear it echoing and saying, let the principle of my mind, of my intelligence, of my knowing capability be present everywhere, be present therefore in the mind of all. And if it's saying that, then it's really echoing and declaring its presence in my mind. So how can I not have a structured mind? How can I not be able to categorize the ideas that flow, the images that flow into my mind? I know that the principle of the infinite mind can and will govern the activity of my thought. I recognize this harmony potential within my own being and relinquish the claim to a personal creative mind of my own. I don't know how many of you have become involved in creative projects that took a lot of so-called mental activity. But believe me, if you think that you're doing the creating, it's a lot of work. You just have to dig in, apparently, and think and think and think and think. But it isn't a natural evolution somehow. It isn't as easy as if one really has the capability of letting go of one's personal sense of mind, letting go of one's personal sense of creativity, and allowing the divine mind, which has every image deep within its own being, to work it out, to work out the idea that it wishes to express. Because that science of mind is the all-creative force at work in the universe. It governs with impartiality every creative activity, including the creative activities that appear to be happening within my thought. Its harmonizing principle I have here is ever guiding the innovative process that I seem to be discovering. It is structuring and systematizing my thought, and I therefore can feel its presence and align myself with its procedures. Can you follow? It's just an echo, and it gives such enormous freedom for creative ability to be able to let go of one's own being as a personal creator, to let go of one's own belief in having a personal mind that can create something, and just let that wonderful, structured, systematic, categorical mind deliver its images into my thought and deliver them in such a wonderful manner I could never, never conceive of the whole or the end of my project in such a clear way as mind can. And then we address the next question, which is, or statement in the epitomes rather, which is a willingness to be near the open source of all existence, to be near that creative source that mind is just pouring and pouring and pouring out. So I have to ask myself, have I been willing, really, to take those first four steps that we've talked about? Have I been willing to allow my desires to be molded by an infinite intelligence? Have I been willing to allow my motive to be pure? Have I been willing to change my false concepts? And then have I been willing to let the structure of that mind creatively appear in the images of my thought? Have I been willing to take those first four steps in order to discover the creative source of existence? Have I truly been able to relinquish enough personal control over the activity of my thought to experience the spontaneous creative impulse of that divine mind? It's just, well, you've all experienced it. When it comes, it just pours. It just gives you thought after thought after thought, and it gives you the relationships of those thoughts, and it just is pouring and giving. That creativity just comes pouring forth. Have I been willing to allow that fount to bless me in that way? Have I been willing to allow it to just pour its ideas forth within my mind? Am I willing to let it provide for me as it wishes to bring forth its creative ideas? Can I sit at that open fount of the outpouring of its intelligence and experience the energy of those ideas? If you're used to it, it's just a glorious place to be. Because when that mind is just pouring forth its ideas, when it's revealing and declaring to you its images, it's just a magnificent place to be. But when those images come out, when those ideas come forth, they really have a lot of intrinsic power. And I guess if you're not used to that, you might be bowled over, as it were, with the power of the ideas that comes through. But it's such a privilege, such a treasure, when you're open and you're in it, allowing that source of creativity to just flow into your mind. I kind of have an image here of people who write a lot and authors who say, I'm just dry, you know, no new ideas will come to me. It's simple. It's just that they've been trying to get those ideas from their own personal mortal mind, from their own concepts, from their own limited associations. If they would just let go of their personal sense of mind, if they would just yield to the creative source that's existing within the divine mind, ideas would pour forth so fast at them, so quick, that they just wouldn't be able to contain it all. I mean, you just have to take shorthand to be able to get it all down. So one really wants to be that open so that that source of creative idea can just pour forth. It can tell you anything. You don't have to be writing a book. You can wonder what you're supposed to do that day or how you're supposed to cook a particular meal. It can refer to anything, but it will just put images in your mind in such a way that it will show you the combinations and pour forth a brand new concept, something just absolutely priceless to look at. So if I'm not that open, and if I haven't been willing to go through the first four stages, I really have to discover why not. For who would knowingly deprive themselves of such a lofty experience? And it really is just a fantastic experience. So really, with all my heart, I anyway would wish to be open to the abundant outpouring of that infinite mind. Can you just, you can feel it. You can just feel the rush of ideas that are pouring forth from that mind. Therefore, let those necessary steps be taken in me, that I may be open to that bountiful source of creative ideas that dwell within the all-knowing mind. May I let the inexhaustible supply of its ideas inspire me. Oh, isn't that fantastic? It has an inexhaustible supply of ideas. It never, never runs out of them. So therefore, it can supply me forever with those creative ideas. And may my every prayer spring from that very source. And then, you know, I just really have to claim it. I just have to trust that it's possible, that I not only can, but will have an open mind, a mind that's willing to recognize and acknowledge the flood of ideas that's continually coming forth from the divine mind. You know, they're just pouring, they're coming forth and coming forth and coming forth, but if I don't recognize them, I won't experience them. So therefore, I don't want any reactionary mentality to be found in me. No dullness or static energy will be experienced by what appears as my mind. Have you ever just felt thuddy, you know, that you would just couldn't think, you know, just dull and it almost feels, that's why I said static, it just feels like there's static going on in your brain that you just can't think properly. It's because at that point one is really not open to the flow, the living flow that's pouring forth from that creative mind. And if I'm there now, I really have a system. All I have to do is drop my false concepts, my mortal mind concepts, my desire for new ideas into the nearest trash can, and turn to that wonderful, divine, living source that exists within mind, and just be open to it, to have a totally open mind, to let it pour in for me brand new ideas, things that I've never thought before, that I've never envisioned before. Just be open to it. For the spontaneous energy of divine ideas is really in me. It's really ever present within me. It's awakening and inspiring my thought. So even if I feel dull and thuddy, eventually that mind is going to get through. Eventually its impact is going to be so strong that eventually I am going to be open to the flood, the full energy and source of those creative ideas. It's awakening and inspiring my thought. And as long as I said, as long as I remain open to it, it will pour forth the abundance of its great knowledge. And this treasure is mine for the allowing. I have here that I'm deeply grateful. But you know, as I sit here right now, I'm just deeply grateful all over again, because that mind is life. And that mind, because it is life, can never stop pouring forth its unique ideas. Therefore, it can never stop pouring forth the unique images that I will experience in my thought. Isn't that wonderful? You can feel the power of that mind just forever giving and giving and giving from the abundance of its all-knowing intelligence, giving its ideas. And when I'm hooked in, I can only give those ideas too. It's wonderful. Which brings us to question 6, or epitome 6, the place value of mind as truth in the chapter of prayer. A willingness to acknowledge that it's unnecessary for us to fill our prayers with advice. That the infinite all-knowing mind operates correctly, even if we don't think it does, right? And our view of the facts cannot change or improve it. In other words, that God does right without advice. Because that mind is aware of the factuality of its own being. It's aware of all those ideas that it's giving out, and it knows what it's doing. And I can't really inform that mind of anything that it doesn't already know. You know, when you look at it from that point of view, then giving advice to an infinite mind feels unbelievably foolish. I have to ask myself, am I willing not to advise the infinite all-seeing mind by admitting that it knows more than I do and will really act in accordance with what it knows? After all, the facts of the situation really may not be as I perceive them. That infinite mind has a consciousness of all of the facts. And the problem arises within me because I have a belief that I do not have a consciousness of all the facts, even if I think that I do have all the facts. Otherwise, I would not be tempted to advise that mind of a fact that it already knows.